And on this last Saturday of June, we say hello to Terry Totes. Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize, and good morning. Is it really, really the end of June?
It's what the calendar says.
That's what the calendar says. Who'd have thunk, huh?
So that means the 4th of July is next Saturday?
Yeah. When is the 4th of July? That is the overriding question because everything in the universe operates off the question. When is the 4th of July? Louis Lang is with us this morning, Hall of Fame umpire.
Good morning.
Good morning, Louis.
First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you give me the last Saturday of June of every year to come out and speak to you.
That's why it's special.
That's how I remember when the 4th of July is.
That's right.
It's the week after Louis's it.
With you high dignitaries out here at WSMI, it makes me feel good.
Ooh, dignitaries. How do you spell that? I'm not sure we can even spell that. I don't know. So, well, Louis, good to have you along.
Thank you.
We always talk about officiating and the need for new officials, and this is kind of the traditional thing. And, of course, the Hillsboro, the Bud Reinecke Golf Tournament going on today at Indian Springs, part of the fundraising to keep athletics going in Hillsboro. And when they're at the country club, we're usually at the country club, but when they're at Indian Springs, we're here in studio. So it's good to have you in studio today.
Well, thank you. I count it as a privilege to be here.
Well, we appreciate it. We're also going to be talking with Dylan Miller a little bit later on, the Hilltopper star who will be playing D1 basketball coming up for the Bisons of North Dakota State.
And they've been in the tournament the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Won a game 2 years ago. Can't remember now who they beat, but they upset somebody in the first round 2 years ago.
Didn't they have a buzzer beater? Wasn't there a buzzer beater?
I believe it was.
Yeah. So we're anxious to catch up with Dylan today and see how his life is going and how he's getting ready to prepare for D1 basketball.
You know, it's always fun. I know you don't get into filling out the bracket at tournament time, T, but I love filling out the bracket. And now actually have a rooting interest for an upset pick, potentially.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. We know him.
Exactly. A good reason to pick the sleeper Bison in your bracket coming up in March.
But you know what? The thing of it is, we talk about it in March, but before long, you know, the school's going to start. We'll be through 9 weeks of high school football and then the playoffs, basketball over here, and we'll be picking brackets again. It just seems to speed along at an unbelievable pace anymore.
Of course, so. The high school kids, you know, the summertime, you're involved in the football camps, the basketball camps and all that. But for a senior like Dylan Miller, you've graduated and going on to the D1 level. He's already on campus.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their own summer things going on.
Yeah. Their own thing. And it's a little bit different.
Like a job.
Yeah. Well, that's how they have to approach it. So, and Dylan, you know, earned the right to be there and be a member of the Bison. So we're going to catch up with him a little bit later on. First off, we got to talk to our buddy Louis Lang. And Louis, again, congratulations on your induction into the Illinois Coaches Association Hall of Fame softball as an umpire. That was a pretty neat thing to have happen to you. So
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I know you've got it's just one of those thankless jobs sometimes. Although there are an awful lot of nice coaches out there who will come up to you after the ball game and say, "Hey, nice job, Blue."
Right. So, and you know, as I recollect that Hall of Fame deal, you know, some people that I hadn't heard from in 10, 15 years sent me a letter of congratulations or called me on the telephone or sent me an email or whatever. And, you know, that's the kind of people that you remember.
Sure. And there are so many memories associated with what you do. I mean, you know, this is just a part-time job, although sometimes it seems like a full-time job with you because you're always booked. But you meet so many great people, and I think that's really the thing about getting involved in something like officiating or even broadcasting like what we do. You meet some great people.
You do, and those friendships last forever.
I think the one thing that we talk about every year this time is the need for game officials. And we every year we say, oh, it's getting critical. It really is getting to a critical situation now as more and more baby boomers are retiring and there's not an influx of a whole lot of young people getting into officiating. What's the state of affairs as you look down the line here about 5 years or maybe even 10 years, Louis? There's going to be a big void that needs to be filled.
Well, I'm 57 years old, and, you know, these kids stay the same age every year, 16, 17, and 18, which isn't right. But
they seem to never get slower, do they?
No, they get faster. Mm-hmm. That's for doggone sure. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, you know, in 5 years, it will definitely be a critical point. You know, even though I've got football games scheduled out through 2022, you know, that doesn't mean that I'll be even be able to walk then. But
that's it?
Just as of right now,
Tim. Just 2022,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm attempting to get new officials. I have gotten four or five new ones that I've taken under my wings to help them out. And they see the importance of it, and they enjoy it. But some of the ones that you get a couple years, they decide, hey, this isn't for me, with the coaches, the fans, the clinics you have to attend, the you know, everything else you have to do. They just don't consider it fun.
It seems to me that officials, when recruiting officials, new officials, that getting involved in an organization, an officials organization, is probably the best way to go.
Yes, it is. And I am president of the Mid-State Officials Association. And, you know, if anyone out in the WSMI listening area is interested in becoming an official, just call the radio station. And I know Terry or Tim will get them hooked up with me. And we'll definitely welcome you with open arms.
Well, there are several advantages, first off. And I think one of the big advantages is you get to work with other seasoned officials.
Right. And, you know, those young ones we take under our wings. And, you know, sure, you're not going to put them on a varsity football game on a Friday night, a big rival game. But, hey, there's JFL out there, which, by the way, starts August 8th of this year, which is right around the corner.
Oh,
so
geez.
I've got about 5 weeks breathing room besides the national softball tournament that I'll be doing in Bloomington, Indiana, and some of the other camps that I'll be going to. Mike Popovich, which I know you know from Staunton,
sure,
has called me this week and wanted me to get eight officials for him for his 7-on-7 football camp coming up a week from Friday. And, you know, and I did a basketball camp down at Salem. Did 22 games in 3 days down there. And, you know, but hey, you love it. You do it for the love of the game and for the kids.
And that's one thing that a lot of people, they'll see you on a Friday night. They'll see you on a Tuesday night or a Friday night in basketball season and maybe after school for a softball game, baseball game, whatever. But they don't see you on the other camps. They don't see you in the other things that maybe don't draw the high school crowd.
That is exactly right. And, you know, in these camps, you kind of let things go. Summertime basketball, hey, that girl there needs to get a little stronger. That foul on the arm, it didn't count. Help her
it's
out.
It's a little more college type stuff,
it is,
right?
Yeah. That'll make her better in January.
Sure. And the rule is, keep playing until you hear a whistle.
That's right.
You know, and if you get that in that mindset, even if you are fouled, you keep playing through. It can only benefit a ball player. So,
well, some of these camps, they run two 20-minute halves, continuous clock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of those girls are kind of dogging it by that 18th minute. But, you know, hey, we keep going and we have fun.
We're talking with Louis Lang, one of our friends who comes by and talks to us every year about officiating and the need for new officials. And we'll go through the process of how do you sign up and some of the things that are involved, especially for high school officiating through the IHSA and the IESA, for that matter. But we need to get to a break first, and we'll come back with more Sports Saturday right after these messages.
And we are back on WSMI Sports Saturday. Let's rejoin WSMI's Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, Tim Ice. Tim, would you make sure I'm on FM? Monitoring on FM? Okay, sounds good. Okay, sounded a little weird there. Oh, it was just me. That's what sounded weird. It was just me. Sorry about that. Well, we have Louis Lang in studio with us, and we're going to diverge a little bit as we get a chance to catch up with Dylan Miller, a Hillsborough High School graduate who is going to be playing basketball for North Dakota State, a D1 school. And Dylan, first and foremost, congratulations. We're very proud of you. And as you look back on your career at Hillsborough High School, it was a rather pleasant experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and thank you. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about, and what are you doing today? Where are you? Are you at the school right now and participating in the summertime activities?
Yeah, I am up here right now, and like in the summer, like we have like camps and workouts and lifts and stuff. But like it's the weekend right now, so we don't have anything.
Dylan, what did you learn about yourself or maybe about your love for the game of basketball this past season when you got injured in the middle of your senior year?
That I really hate missing games.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, I think the Toppers got off to a pretty good start this year, and then of course the injury came along, and then you have to try to get back, work yourself back into playing shape, and you know, while you're away, the team had to make some adjustments, and then they have to come back and make some more adjustments. So it's an interesting situation once a player gets hurt and then returns to the lineup. And as you were rehabbing and getting ready to come back, you were still part of the team. I mean, you were there. You were there at the ball games. You were cheering everybody on. You were still actively participating in the program itself.
Yeah, I was at every practice and every game. I was still trying to get my team to do the best they can and trying to make them better every day still.
Dylan, where did you see, or where was your game, would you say, the most improved from your junior year to your senior year? What were you really trying to focus on?
I think my scoring got, like, a lot better than what it was.
Is that a deal where you thought maybe, like, your mid-range jump shot improved a little bit?
Yeah, I thought it improved pretty well.
And I also thought, Dylan, that you were a lot more fluid on the floor, you know, able to move and really involve a lot of other people in the offense itself for the Hilltoppers.
Yeah.
So as you're working out here, let's compare what you're doing now as what happened during summertime. And when you were in your high school era, you know, the Toppers obviously had some camps. You played AAU basketball. What goes on now as compared to then?
This is a completely different animal. It's a lot more fast paced, a lot more stronger people, bigger people, and it's just we go harder in open gyms and everything. In high school, it was kind of like, hey, we're gonna have fun this summer. Here, we're here to work.
Like a job, I guess.
Yeah, we're here to work.
So is it fair to say that the speed of the collegiate practice in the summer is quite a bit faster than the speed of the high school varsity game?
Yeah.
And we've talked to other athletes, Dylan, about going from the high school level into college, and everybody's good. I mean, you don't play college athletics without being a pretty good ball player.
Yeah.
How does it, you know, what do you have to do as far as being getting in the right mindset to fit into that sort of thing?
You really just got to believe that you're one of the best, and that's why you're here, and that you can hang with anyone, and you just got to play your heart out.
Dylan, I would think one of the cool things about being a D1 college basketball player is, like, you get shoes and, like, sweatsuits and probably all sorts of nifty stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've already got a couple pairs of shorts. We got our practice shoes, and we've got some shirts, and we have jackets and stuff coming in, and our game shoes coming soon.
That's good stuff. And yeah. I would imagine
Tim's a fashionista, Dylan. That's what he asked you about.
That's what I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I would imagine. Do you allow yourself to think about the possibility of playing in the big dance coming up in March?
Oh, I'm hoping that we'll get back there, and then we'll take it further than what they have ever done.
Dylan, explain to us a little bit about North Dakota State. A lot of people may be not familiar with where the school is located, how big of a school it is, and that sort of thing.
It is in Fargo, North Dakota, and this school is like a mid-sized school. There's, I think, about 15,000 people that go here.
And they've had success.
Yeah, they've been in the tournament two times, or three times in the last 4 years.
What was the recruiting process like for you, Dylan, when you started whittling down the schools? So I know you had several schools interested in you. Take us through the process of how you settled on North Dakota State.
Well, I took visits everywhere and stuff like that, and I really just decided which one had the best basketball team, which basketball team had the best chemistry, and, like, best facilities and the best, like, program for my major, and this just felt like home, too.
And your major is going to be what?
Computer science.
There we go.
There you go.
Make that money.
Yeah.
Play a little basketball and know how to program computer. There you go. Hey.
Exactly.
Think this man's set. Dylan, when you look back on your years at Hillsborough High School, what a tremendous opportunity you had, and I think that You certainly look like you enjoyed playing basketball for the Hilltoppers.
I did, and right now I miss everyone. I wish I could go back for another game.
And we certainly enjoyed watching you play. Boy, you really impressed us as a terrific ball player. And you know, we just don't get to see big guys very often at our area. And to have a big guy, man, that was so much fun to watch.
Dylan, I wonder if you could talk about what Joe Vanzo did for you throughout your high school career.
He helped me out so much. Every time I needed to get in the gym, I'd just call him up, and he'd get me in the gym, do workouts for me individually if I needed it. He'd talk to AU coach, or he'd talk to college coaches for me, too, and he'll talk to them about me. And he really just, like, stepped my game up to the collegiate career.
I think you're on your way there, Dylan. I think you've found a great school. And you were talking about how it felt like home. Really, that... You know, you have to be extremely comfortable to go that far away and to get involved in a program. And once you find that level of comfort, basically you can just let it fly.
Yeah, this team and coaches up here is like the most, like, seems like an actual family. And that's what I love about this school, too. Yeah.
Sounds like you're sitting pretty there, the man. we're excited for you. We're excited to see what happens at North Dakota State this year with the Bison. And Dylan, we certainly appreciate you joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Man, we had a blast watching you play basketball for the Hilltoppers, and you certainly deserve the opportunity to play D1 basketball at North Dakota State. So good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dylan Miller joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And Louie, you refereed a few games with Dylan. He was a ball player, wasn't he?
Oh, definitely. It's great to see him, you know, as a seventh grader, and then have one of his finals games as a senior in high school. Just how much he has improved from seventh grade through his senior season.
And you know, if you're a big guy around here, and we don't have many big guys, you know, there's so many expectations. I think that you should be dominating and this. But you know, when teams play defense. And virtually everybody plays defense anymore. I mean, in you know, 50 years ago, you kind of threw a little 2-3 zone out there, and maybe it wasn't very difficult. But, you know, with the amount of defense that gets played anymore, you know, Dylan had to be a smart player, because if he was double down on or triple down on, he found somebody that was open.
Or
and you know, and you have to be very unselfish.
Oh, definitely. Or he'd go out and shoot a three.
Or go out and shoot a three, which he had the ability to do. Yeah.
And Terry's senior year, it wasn't if he got double the triple team. It was win.
Yeah. It was always. And he, you know, and the physical aspect of the game will be so much more at the college level. But Dylan took his fair share of shots in high school. I mean, he, you know, they were physical with him. So. And
of course, he got the crowd going quite often, too, with his dunks. You know, us as referees, we love to see that, too.
Do you really?
Oh, I love it. Yes, I do.
You get caught up in that, huh?
Oh, definitely. Yes, you do.
Well, you know, and even the opposition, I think, sometimes kind of gets, you know, breathless for a moment when somebody like Dylan slams one home.
In small school, high school basketball, the dunk can be a huge momentum swing.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It really can be. And we saw it this year with Dylan.
Yeah.
And you know, I think... And there are some people who say, well, you know, we don't know how Dylan's going to do at D1. Hey, he earned his stripes here.
Yeah.
He earned the right to play Division I basketball. He worked his butt off, especially the last 2 years in high school and playing AAU basketball. You know, this kid deserves
a chance.
He's going to college for free.
He's going to get his computer science degree for free.
How about
that? That's all you want.
You can't lose
in that scenario.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't. It's terrific. It's terrific. And Dylan was just a heck of a lot of fun to watch. So, and he, you know, a lot of times, in spite of the fact he was double down, triple down, and they were pounding away, Dylan looked like he had a lot of fun.
He did.
He loved playing the game.
And you could tell that he loved his teammates, and his teammates loved him. And you heard him mention he misses all of them.
Yeah, that's great. Dylan Miller, we wish him the best of luck. I didn't realize they'd been in the tournament three out of the last 4 years.
So. I don't know if it was three or four. I knew the last 2 years, three out of four.
So
that's a big-time, quote-unquote, mid-major program right there.
Well, and you know, the mid-majors are making their mark here in the NCAA term. Now, they not so much in the Final Four, but certainly they've had their opportunity to make their mark.
They make the tournament what it is that first weekend.
Yeah, they really do, with buzzer beaters and everything else. So we wish Dylan
I'm looking forward to putting the Bison in through the – I already got into the Sweet 16.
On one of your brackets, yeah, you're right. Going to have the Bison going
absolutely.
Deep into the tournament.
Absolutely.
Right?
Big run.
Well, Dylan will be glad to know that, Tim. We need to get to another break. WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Back here on Sports Saturday. Cardinals playing the Cubbies tonight at Busch Stadium, looking for win number 50.
50. Before July 1st.
Before July 1st. Win number 50. And that's without number 50 for a good portion of the year after Doris Achilles.
Yeah. And the Cardinals their home record is like 30-7.
It's something ridiculous. Single digit losses.
Yeah, something absolutely unbelievable. Where did this all come from with all the injuries, you know?
Some things can't be explained, you know?
It's baseball. It's the foul pole syndrome.
That's where you just kind of have to laugh when you hear some teams, you know, every year talk about, well, this guy got hurt, that guy got hurt. We better just trade everybody in the system because we're not going to be good this year. The Cardinals get injuries every year, too, and they just seem to find a way.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
They're still trying to deal with the break-in on the computer thing. And that's
I haven't
kind
heard
of,
as much about that lately.
That's kind of embarrassed the organization, I think, but really hasn't affected the on-field performance and shouldn't.
So. Well, it had nothing to do with on-field to begin with, and obviously it's not messing with them too much right now.
So, anyway, Cards-Cubs tonight and again Sunday night, so... we'll see what the Cardinals can do. Cardinals and Cubs. Boy, they packed the place last night, didn't they?
Always do.
Oh, my God.
And it's just good to see the Cubbies back to being relevant again.
Yes, it is. It is. Best thing could happen for Central Division, Cards and Cubs battling it out all the way down to the wire.
Wouldn't no doubt about good? It.
But I think you got to watch out for the Pirates.
They're kind of primed, aren't they? They've been close the last couple of years.
I think the Pirates are a team you're going to have to watch out for, so... That's just my personal opinion. By the way, also in the world of sports yesterday, Team USA, the women's soccer team, defeated China 1-0. China was the team that they beat in 1999 when Brandi Chastain did her thing in PK.
Oh, I think I remember hearing about that.
Remember hearing about that?
They got a little coverage.
Yeah, they got a little coverage. And they will take on Germany next week. Germany is the top-ranked team in the world.
Didn't they score like 10 goals in their first game or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they're kind of an offensive juggernaut, yes. And Team USA, though, after watching last night, they played with they had to change their lineup because Megan Rapinoe and Lauren Holiday both were out because of two yellow cards. And Jill Ellis shook up the lineup last night, and boy, it was dynamic. I mean, they didn't score a lot of goals, but they dominated the play from start to finish. Without Abby Wambach, who only played the last 5 minutes of the ball game. So
interesting.
Yeah, I think.
See, that's why coaches get paid the big bucks.
Well,
you get into the biggest tournament in the world, do you got the guts to sit the face of your team in a win-or-go-home game?
Well, and Abby Wambach did not play in the women's league leading up to the World Cup because she wanted to be healthy and wanted to be fresh. And maybe she's a little rusty.
Well, that's always a fine line,
you know,
isn't it?
And really hasn't been very effective up to this point when she's been in. So, on the other hand, Alex Morgan, who was battling back from an injury, seems to be healthy, seems to be able to play her fair share of minutes. Just the timing is off as far as the touches on the ball. So.
Well, and if you ask Abby Wambach, if it was being played on natural grass, she'd have like 75 goals in the tournament.
It's got to get back to grass.
It has.
This turf stuff is awful. It's absolutely awful. It's not even. It looks weird. It just looks weird. So
some things are meant to be played on grass.
Yes. As Richie Allen, you remember Richie Allen, Louie?
Yes.
Richie Dick Allen.
Yes.
If horses can't eat it, I don't want to play on it. That's what he used to say about AstroTurf. So. That was just a bunch of some of the other stuff we can't repeat what Richie Allen used to say, but that one we could. You remember that, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah. Coming up today in the other quarterfinals, Australia will take on Japan, and Canada will take on England in the other quarterfinals to set up the semis. So I think Team USA's got a pretty good shot. I like their defense. Their defense has been smothering, especially in the second half of each.
I mean, if they can, obviously, if they can get past Germany, you would have to like them in the title game, regardless of who they face.
Yeah.
You know, this, I guess this is kind of a situation that happens a lot in big tournaments where the semifinal game, in some ways, is the actual championship game. And that probably is what we have here with Germany and the U.S. in the semis.
So we will see. Anyway, they'll meet, and I think it all wraps up about July 5th. So, and so they have the semis next week, and then they'll have a few days off. So hopefully they're playing on July 5th. In the championship game. So,
be pretty disappointed if they weren't.
Well, yeah, but they are taking on the number one team ranked in the country, or ranked in the world, Germany. So, but what the heck?
You know. Hey, we're Americans, so who cares?
That's right. We don't care.
We're supposed to win. And women's soccer.
But you know what?
Men's not so.
That was never the attitude for years in soccer
in
this country.
Well, it's that 99 changed. Team changed.
The 99 it. Team, it rewrote the rules. It really did.
Yeah. They haven't won the World Cup since, I believe.
No, they have not. They've were eliminated in some of the semis before. But, yeah. Anyway.
It's always humorous to me, though, like with the women's soccer in this country, because for the most part, we're a soccer-ignorant country.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Sure.
You know,
it's getting bigger.
It's starting to expand a little bit.
And a lot of it's generational.
It is.
Yeah.
But every 4 years, the expectations for the Women's World Cup is just, well, if they don't win it, they're bums.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course Jurgen Klinsmann's getting ready for the men's World Cup next year, and I think the men's.
What's that next year?
2 years.
It was just last. It was just last summer, wasn't it?
2 years.
Yeah, you were thinking.
Oh no, we're we've
you
got
were thinking.
Olympics.
Yeah, you're
the
thinking
Olympics.
Of the Olympics going back to Brazil,
Olympics,
where the World Cup was. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, yeah.
Good time to be an American soccer fan, I guess. Though
it
the
is.
Men's team beat the Dutch and the Germans a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Now the women's team making their deep run. Maybe the rest of the world will start calling it soccer.
No, that's never going to happen.
I would love that. Would be so awesome for the men's world for the men's national team to win the World Cup someday, and then they would do all those post game interviews talking about soccer, that.
Yes.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
We want to thank USA Soccer for backing us.
What is
you know,
this?
Yes.
As if FIFA didn't hate us enough. That would really rile them up.
Yeah. Well, and FIFA, you know. With Sepp Blatter, the commissioner, and he's resigned. And
I guess he said he might not resign now.
Well,
he might change his mind.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a soap opera. So, all I can say with my vast experience is 5 years as the commissioner of the National Stickball League when I was younger in my high school days. You know, running a backyard wiffle ball league. A lot of experience in this sort of thing. So.
Hey, you need to spice up the World Cup? Two words.
Penalty hole.
Penalty hole.
I'm telling you.
That's right. That's right.
But that's another subject.
The game would never be the same.
It'd never be the same. Although in soccer, probably penalty nets. You put them around the edge of the – and if you take a wide shot and it goes in the penalty net, game's over. You know, game, set, and match, we're going home. Next team.
Terry, you know – in all seriousness now, keeping on the soccer realm, the Grace Cup was last weekend.
Yes, Grace Cup. And for everybody that participated, thank you so much. The skies cleared. We had sunshine. There was a little water on the south end of the field because we had like a foot of rain that week. But
let's talk to the maintenance crew about that.
Yeah. And for the money that was raised for INAD research, I think it was over $1,100 and That was terrific, and that's something we look forward to doing again next year. I hope it, you know. And the players were very gracious. The parents were very gracious. Thanks to everybody that helped out, you know, the Sports Association in town, the Raymond Harville Sports Association fired up the grills and had concessions and everything. So, and Joe Webb, Travis Matthews all helped out. But it turned out to be a good day, and it was good to see Grace do the ceremonial kickoff. So I thought that was kind of neat. So it was close to our hearts, and you know, we wish we all that money, by the way, goes to research at Wash U. So that's a good place for it. So it will be back.
Did it get competitive at the end?
I don't think it got as competitive. One team jumped out a little bit to a big lead, and that kind of
buried him early.
Then of course there were a few players that at the last minute couldn't show up, and so they swapped around things. But I think next year, you know, after you got to do it a year,
that's right,
and find out all the bugs and that sort of thing. But it worked, and it'll work again. So the Grace Cup is here to stay. So thanks to everybody who participated, and again, we wish the best to the Hirschelman family. Great family. Terrific, yes. Terrific friends. So, okay, onward. Louis Lang has joined us in studio, and we continue to talk with Louis about the need for young officials. Louis, as you look back on your career, who were some of the people that you look back and say, you know, they kind of helped out along the way?
Well, I can't remember back that far, to be honest with you, Terry. That was 39 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of individuals. I'm not going to mention any names because I might forget someone. Yeah. And, you know, but there are several.
But there were certain people, key people that, you know, were able to come to you and say, hey, you know, let's talk about this.
Exactly. And, you know, the cooperation that you have with other officials and athletic directors and conference schedulers and stuff, you know, that's something that you hold dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're doing it for the love of the game and for the kids. You get a little bit of money for it. Gas prices need to go back down a little bit for us to make a little bit more money. But if I was in it for the money about 39 years ago, I would have been broke.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still love it. Some of the coaches and players may not love me being there, but I'm still there anyway. But, you know, it's a great experience and something never forget.
As an association, your officials association, when somebody new comes into it, somebody young comes into it, what's the process? What's the general process of getting them up to speed?
Well, they can actually go on www.ihsa.org. You can become a registered official over the internet now. And they do have all the associations listed in your immediate area that you can contact the person. You know, Springfield has a couple associations. I've got one in Coffeen.
POA?
The POA Palmer, you know, Effingham, Centralia. There's tons of them around. And I know that us as officials would welcome anybody with open arms that wants to get involved because we definitely need officials.
And you take care of officials for a ton of sports. Football, basketball, baseball, softball, what else?
That's it right now.
That's it right now?
That's
enough.
That keeps me busy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I used to do volleyball and track and field, and I gave those up. I didn't have time for six sports, so I narrowed it down to four.
Now, Louis, of those four that you officiate regularly, which one do you find to be the most challenging, just from a pure officiating standpoint, not necessarily, you know, from a crowd standpoint, where do you get the most noise coming from the stands, but just from a pure officiating standpoint, rules of the game, implementation, speed, all those different things, what is the most challenging sport to officiate?
High school football. You have 22 players out there. You have five referees, and that 100-yard field gets pretty long some nights.
And you can't possibly watch them all.
No, you cannot.
Yeah.
My favorite sport to carry that on, it would have to be softball.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that I went to state as an umpire back in 2011, and of course that would be my favorite sport. But boys basketball gets kind of hectic sometimes too.
I would think that would be the most intense one.
It is definitely on a Friday night packed house.
There have been times that you get the big rival games too. Mm-hmm. And do officials kind of look at those any differently?
Oh, you look forward to them. You know, if a Litchfield, Hillsboro varsity boys basketball game or a varsity girls basketball game between the Purple Panthers and the Toppers, you know, you look excited. You get excited about that. You look at your schedule and say, man, a week from Friday I've got the Toppers and the Purple Panthers. And you know it's going to be a packed house.
Yeah.
I don't care if one team's better than the other. Throw the records out the window. Both teams are 0-0 going into that game, and you know you're going to have a great game.
Broadcasters are the same way with those rivalry games. We like those kind of games too.
You look forward to them.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, and it's kind of one of those you circle on the calendar going, well, who's Terry going to assign to this game tonight? Well, it's usually going to be me. Since I make out the schedule, I think I'm going to do it. So one of the advantages of being a schedule maker, I guess. And Louis, for somebody who is interested in becoming an official, once you get signed up with the Illinois High School Association, we're talking basically just high school and IESA, what's the process here? I mean, obviously you're going to have to pass a test of some sort, but it is an open book test. But there are some clinics that are involved on down the line.
It's mandatory that you attend a clinic once every 3 years. But if you attend a clinic once every year, you get more points, playoff points, allowing you to possibly be selected to officiate in the playoffs.
So officials even get to earn playoff points like football teams do, huh?
Right, Sure do.
I'll be darned.
It's based on that, and depends on your certification, whether you're registered, recognized, or certified. Depends on how far up the ladder you've went in your playoffs, whether you've done a regional, a sectional, a super sectional, or state. Just as an example, there's 40 points as an official that you get. I'm at 40 points with softball due to the fact that I've done the state tournament. You get 5 points for doing the state tournament. And, you know, in boys basketball, I don't have that many points because I don't do as many boys games as I do softball. But, you know, it is a challenge. And, you know, I keep loving it and I just keep doing it.
Yeah. We need to get to a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Louis Lang coming up right after these messages.
12 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, back on WSMI Sports Saturday with Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, Tim Mies. Louis Lang has joined us in studio. Louis, while we were away on break, I just happened to mention that when you're officiating game, and in particular, let's say basketball, for example, when the teams are better, it's easier to officiate a game because, the higher the skill, the easier the game is and the better the game is.
Oh, definitely. And you can tell what schools have fourth and fifth graders playing before they get to the junior high level. And, you know, the competition that they play, I mean, if you beat somebody by 30 points, that's not going to really do you any good. But you can definitely tell, and it makes it easier as a referee to call a game that their level is a little bit higher than others.
So not only do kids playing at the fourth and fifth grade level get experience, but this is where young officials get experience.
Exactly right. That's where I started.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody comes to you and you have an opportunity to send them out to these sort of games, do you go with them the first time or do you just send them out and say, okay,
well, if
good
I'm
luck?
Not booked, which that's very unlikely.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I'll try to go with them and, you know, help them out, tell them what to do, you know, to the best of my ability. And, you know, I'll most of the time, like on the football field, I'll take them to JFL with me or a freshman game. They may hire a three-man crew, but I'll say, hey, go as a fourth man. You're not going to get paid, but the experience that you'll get on the field, it will definitely benefit you.
And just like everything else, you got to have that experience. I mean, that's really where you build on. You have to learn to make mistakes and go beyond that.
Right. And, I mean, the coaches understand that, hey, you know, this guy over here, this is his first game ever. Mm-hmm. Don't yell at ever. Call that he makes because, hey, he's new and we need these kind of guys. Mm-hmm. And I know of a couple of guys that have actually given it up because of that very reason that they didn't like getting yelled at.
The other night my son called, and my son Brendan is into refereeing soccer, and he was at a tournament for a week had the center position and made a call just outside the box, and the assistant referee, the sideline referee, had a different opinion somehow convinced him that call was correct. And then after he made the call, he was worried that he didn't make the right call. So he called Dad, and we talked about it for a while. And I think my point was, hey, you got to trust yourself.
That's 100% of it. You have to believe in yourself and believe in your partners, too.
Yeah.
That they're going to give you the right call.
But if there's a dispute, Louis. In for example, if you're in a football game and you see a play take place and you're 5 yards away from it and your partner is 25 yards away from it and may have a different view on things, you basically have to trust the fact that I'm the closer one, I had the better view, I probably have the right call, and I'm going to make that call.
Exactly. And if we do have two different calls, we get together, and we do our best to get it right. That's all you can ask for, is to get it right. Yeah, I've admitted several times, I didn't see that happen, you know, a tip off the somebody's fingers going out of bounds in a basketball game. But, you know, we get our minds together, what little minds we do have. But, we get them together and do our best to get the call right and, you know, go to the coaches and say, hey, I blew it. You know, I messed up on that call. Yeah. You know, be man enough to admit that you're wrong. And the coaches respect you for that, too.
Yeah. And they do. They do.
What's it like? I always like to see officials come together to get the call right. But, you know, sometimes the conference can take a little bit of time, and then the natives start to get restless in the stands. What is it like from the official standpoint? You're on the floor, the three of you are huddled up, and all of a sudden you start to hear people kind of, let's go, come on, let's get moving.
What a joking matter, Tim. We just stay together just to take a little break. We're tired.
You got to catch your breath.
That's called strategy right there. Well, and I have an opinion about that too, Louis, because I think we see officials get together more and more to try to get the call right. But so many of us are trained because we've been watching Major League Baseball, college basketball, professional, and we're used to seeing replays. And we're used to seeing officials go and watch replays to help get the call right. You guys don't have that opportunity.
And I hope and pray we never get that opportunity to watch the replays. You know, call it, live with it, move on. It's that simple. You know, we do the best we can, and we're human. And
but the human factor is what makes the game so exciting, I think.
And they and fans and coaches and players sometimes forget it's just a game.
Yeah.
The sun will come up tomorrow,
yes,
or it'll rain tomorrow, more than likely.
Well, around here, it's going to rain tomorrow, probably. but yeah, you're right. The safety of the free world's not at stake, and it's just a game. And everybody, if everybody does their best, and I always like to remind kids that games are lost because of the mistakes made by the team. They're not going to be lost by one call by an official. Trust me, that just isn't going to happen. So. But I think in this day and age of, you know, instant replay, and we're so used to seeing six different angles on a play, you know.
And they still get it wrong.
And they still get it wrong. Right. You know, to me, for Major League Baseball, for example, on a replay, I think they've blown the whole thing, because to me the only angle that should be reviewed is the camera angle that should be mounted on top of an umpire's hat, because that's the only angle he had. You should take a look at that angle and that angle only. Who cares what the other angles are? This is what the guy saw. If it looked out, he's out. Well, now, I say that is because you don't have six umpires around the base. You have one guy in position making that call. If it's out and he looks out, you call him out. Even though he may be safe, he's out.
I see what you're saying, but the point of replay is to get it right, to have those other five angles covered
then
that
you don't need
the human
officials.
Couldn't see.
Then it's time to get the officials off the field.
Well, maybe that's a legitimate conversation at the professional level.
You know, to me, it's a disservice to the officials to have six different angles when the guy calling the play has one angle.
Here's the problem, though. In professional sports, there's so much money involved. You got to get it right.
Well,
you got to get it right at the professional level because dollars are being exchanged.
Well, now and even any review is sponsored.
Well, of course. Naturally.
So, just another chance to make a few bucks, yeah.
You know that. So,
but I always thought it was a disservice for officials who don't get the luxury of six replays from six different angles.
So, I think the replay in Major League Baseball has just proven how good they actually are.
Well, that in many cases.
You know,
because
all these plays are so bang bang. I'm watching it in like super slow motion. It's like, I can't tell.
Yeah.
I can't tell. I'm going to go with the guy who made the instinctual call live.
Sure.
You know, I just came away. I always thought Major League umpires got a lot of calls wrong. Like, boy, if they could review that, it would have been changed. And now the replays involved, it's like, no, I was wrong. They're right, like 9 out of 10 times.
Let me make a statement, and you can comment on it. A good official cannot anticipate a call, but he has to anticipate the play.
Exactly. And, Tim, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but when we do get together, our main goal is to get it right.
Right.
If it takes more time, maybe all three of us saw it different. Mm-hmm. One of the other officials come up and says, Louie, I'm 110% sure that I saw it this way. I'm going to go with him. Mm-hmm. You cannot anticipate, you call it the way you see it. Some fans and coaches don't think you, of course, they don't see it the same way you do. But you got, so often you got to make a call right now.
Right.
You can't relive it and say, well, what happened 10 seconds ago? I mean, you make the call and you sell it.
And I think the advantage that you have, Louie, with the experience you've had, you've seen enough games, you kind of know what, like I said, anticipate the play but not anticipate the call. You kind of know what might be coming here.
Right.
So you can get yourself in a little bit better position.
Exactly.
And what people don't understand, the mechanics with officials are so important. That's one thing that you do cover at some clinics and do cover at meetings of officials.
Right. And, you know, one thing, too, is that you do the best you can. We're humans.
Yeah.
We make mistakes.
You may have a bad day at work, right?
Or may have a bad day at home.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we all have crazy things that happen at work and at home and stuff. And then you have to go do a ball game. You know, sometimes it's tough to refocus.
But then you come home and you've had a bad game. You know, so it all works together, I guess.
Around and around it goes.
I find it interesting, though, Louie. You're never short on doing games.
Oh, no. I had the privilege of going to Super Sectional again this year in softball. I went down to DuCoin and had Wayne City against Trico. Great ball game, which Wayne City went on and got second place, I think, in 1A. And some of those teams you don't see during the regular season. And I went to Odin for the sectional, which we had a heck of a time getting that in because of all the rain.
Oh, that took about a week and a half to to play.
It did, but my regional was great. It was at Greenville. That 17 or so miles down the Red Ball Trail was a pretty rough drive for me. But, you know, all in all, I thank God that I was able to officiate again, and I've got a national tournament coming up in Bloomington, Indiana, the 1st of July, first couple of days in August, and football season is right around the corner, especially with JFL.
And this national tournament, this is ASA, right?
That is correct. Yeah. 16B national tournament in Bloomington, Indiana.
So you'll have, like, you know, 50 games to do in 2 days or something.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Okay, 50 is an exaggeration. But
you do a lot.
But you will do a lot of games. Yes. Yeah.
And into July, 1st of August, it's not 30-degree weather either.
No. You won't need the long sleeves, will you?
No, you will not. No. But before you close, I thank you and Tim for the opportunity to come out again and express the concern about officials needed in this area. And again, contact me, contact Tim or Terry or WSMI, and they will get you in contact with the right person.
And I like it when Louis got the plate. I know we're going to have
absolutely.
A good strike zone.
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. And I'm a pitcher's umpire, you know, when I used to umpire. I like that strike zone. You better be swinging.
The players have to adjust to me. I don't have to adjust to them.
Sure. And, you know, it just makes the game go better in softball and baseball, I think. So
they give you a bat for a reason.
You come up armed. That's right. You know.
Well, I've never seen anybody make it to the professionals by walking.
Right.
You know, swing the bat.
A valid point. Swing the bat. An extremely valid point. Louis, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
We always appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you this fall when high school football gets underway, because our paths will cross, definitely.
Oh, definitely, and I just, you know, think you guys do a great job covering the sports in mid-Illinois, and I appreciate everything
you do. You know what? They actually pay us to do that.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
It really is. Louis Lang joining us. Dylan Miller was our guest earlier today. We appreciate Dylan joining us. Tim Mize, thank you so much for producing our broadcast. That's it for Sports Saturday.